Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. Today, we welcome Mark Braun and John Kramer to the show. Together, they lead Cambridge Engineering. Guys, I am so excited to have the two of you with me today. We've known each other for a long time. John and I have known each other longer than you and I have, Mark, from different walks of life. Our paths have crossed over the years. And I've just always been so in awe of Cambridge and just the culture that you've built there. You guys truly are an exemplary when it comes to manufacturing companies and just such a pillar here in St. Louis. And so it's a delight for me to have you.
So kind of you to say
Thank
that.
Thank you very much so. And you've been quite an inspiration to me watching you lead and be totally involved in the community, not just business. So thank you.
Very good. Well, I tell you, as I said, we're going to have more to talk about today than we're going to have the time for. So I don't want to waste any more time. So John, talk to us a little bit about the story of Cambridge.
So it's funny, but my father one day decided he and his brother wanted to go into business rather than selling life insurance. So about 56 years ago, they started Cambridge Engineering and trying to engineer different products. Then my father decided to stick on one product, which is kind of the HVAC focus, commercial industrial. And so we're a 56-year-old startup company. And I grew up in the ranks working in plant, cutting grass. Then I started a customer service group doing industry recall, then grew up through sales, and eventually became the vice president of sales and then became president of the company in 2005. So that's kind of the story behind that. My father and mother really loved me, loved people, and I really learned a lot of the generosity and care for people, as there's a tremendous amount of loyalty that my father had for his employees. So just growing up with that was really a great start for me.
Mm-hmm. I always say when the children of entrepreneurs, the dinner conversations are probably very interesting. And you and Brookie both probably got a little MBA, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
When you were young.
Yes, we did. And then we got told not to talk so much about business all the time, too, at dinner.
That's funny. So, Mark, you're now the president of Cambridge. Talk to us a little bit about your journey. How did you actually get connected to Cambridge?
Yeah, actually, my family was friends with the Kramers, and I was running a global sales leadership group for Coke and traveling a lot, and would get together with John and would eat with them, and he would share meals with us, and we would talk about business and talk about life. So it wasn't a business connection, but we were friends. One day, he sat down with me and said, you know what? I'm really building and growing this company. I want to build a growth-based company and hold on to all the family values, and I don't hire friends. So we got a problem because my wife said, I should hire you. And that was literally the conversation. I was like, okay, well, how does that work? And so we spent the next few months just talking through what he wanted and what he really wanted to build. And we actually navigated severance before I came on board because we thought the friendship was more important than the business. And that was 11 years ago. It's been a special ride for the last 11 years.
What a great story. I love that. And because you guys spent time as friends, you really did get to know one another and your value system and who you were at the core, right?
Yes.
And that is so critical, I think, when you go into any kind of partnership or, you know, a hiring situation. The other thing that I think about that's packed in there is sometimes you need to listen to your wife, right, John?
Yes, ma'am.
So Sarah was very wise. So, John, what led you to pick Mark? What was it about Mark that you saw?
Ultimately, I had a view of really, I want to build and do something. I don't just want to be, you know, now that I ran the company, mm-hmm. the owner of the company, I want to do something more than that. And I know that I want my people to thrive. People need to thrive. And I'm a collaborative leader, which is really great, but they also need more direction, more focus. My natural DNA, I'm ADD and I'm dyslexic, and I love people and I love to learn, but the organization was getting whipsawed by my ideas all the time. And so looking for someone that could really add and bolster and also help me focus. Mm-hmm. I love to learn to focus. I feel better with that, but also the people there love to be focusing.
Sure.
So that's when I really saw Mark and his talents and his abilities and helping me get to the next level and helping other people by helping them succeed and thrive. Mm-hmm. So that was mm-hmm. kind of a lot of the stories.
So there was a lot of self-reflection and self-discovery during that time, right, John? To say, you know, I realize this is who I am, but I need this. And I just think about that. That takes some humility.
Enormous.
You know, it takes a lot of humility, right, Mark?
Yeah. Well, that modeling for me has allowed, I mean, the team that we've built back at Cambridge, we're a $36 million company, and I'd put them up against any company three times or four times the size because it's allowed me to do the same thing, the attract leaders in the sales and engineering and HR and finance. And they've come in, and they've been better than I am at those areas, and that's been able to duplicate throughout the whole organization. So everyone inside of Cambridge is literally looking for people that are better than them at their job to be able to attract and train and grow and let them thrive, mm-hmm. become everything they were created to be.
Sure.
And so that humility, that desire, and that passion from John has built an incredible growth engine underneath it.
Well, so, I mean, obviously you were attracted to John. Mm-hmm. You were attracted to him. You were attracted to his values. You saw that there was a synergy there. But then you also were attracted to the company.
Yeah.
And what was it that led you to say, yes, I'm going to join forces with you?
Yeah, coming from a large, so I started my career with Dow Chemical, a large publicly traded, and then a fairly large privately held. And come into a small company, family-owned, was scary. I was thinking about it, processing with my friends and family and saying, hey, is this the right move? One of the things that I've fallen in love with is exactly that, the family business and the ability to have purpose-driven and business combined, meaning that they're not mm-hmm. separate, that you can actually lead the business in a way that has a bigger purpose in life and for the people that it's serving both internally and externally. Just it wakes me up every morning excited to come. The other thing is that Cambridge as a product company had transformed a market. So there was the technology that's globally known as the HTHV technology has transformed warehouse distribution and manufacturing, heating and ventilation. And so whenever I was looking from a brand perspective, they actually had really solid, 11 years ago, had solid penetration, great market share, had elated clients, a great reputation for being responsive, reliable, and easy to do business with. So there was already solid quality systems mm-hmm. in the manufacturing side, mm-hmm. but they just weren't growing. And so I think about what you're doing here, which is telling stories and being able to help that story become known. The story is beautiful, and it was 11 years ago, but how do we get that story known mm-hmm. and told? Because mm-hmm. it can make a bigger impact.
And then the story can always be better, right? We always have to be looking for how can we make the story even better. And I think that's what you guys have done a really good job at. Let's talk about what you guys implemented with your continuous improvement, because you're a lean organization. you employ the tenets of lean. What did you do? Tell us that story about the videos on the continuous improvement.
So I'm going to back up a little bit. The yes. modern time of Cambridge, it really started in 2010, getting things to settle in place with, you know, Mark being on board, but you know, he'd taken different roles. But I love Jim Collins, Good to Great, and Patrick Lencioni, and he was coming into town, and I got to be the day host chair for him when he was just releasing his brand new book, Advantage, How Organizational Health Trumps Everything in Business. And that's really what I craved. I really mm-hmm. wanted that. And I know that I needed help with that. So I brought 20 people from Cambridge to go listen to him and talk with him. And over that time, we started answering the six questions, you know, Why do you exist? How do you behave? What do you do? How do you succeed? Who does what? What's most important right now? And what's most important right now? So with that, we started pecking away at that and putting placeholders. Also at that time, that was the same time that I'm learning, I'm growing, and I need help. I want more than me. So I have hired coaches throughout my life, but I found this crazy guy. His name's Mark Tom. He was a Mark Tom consultant, you know, and yes. I had no idea who he was, but I heard he was speaking, and Mark went to go listen for me because I had a conflict that day, but we found Mark Tom, and we immediately found synergies, and he's been there, done that so many different ways, but he had just wonderful humility, a sweet spirit, but very clear and defining roles, things that he learned, things that he'd failed from, and being able to share that. So that was starting that whole journey at the same time and getting clear with that. So as we started to communicate, because organizational health is communicate, communicate, and over-communicate and re-communicate, you know, those answers to those questions. Then as we started getting that engaged, then we started taking getting involved with Lean. And in 2014, I think it was fall, I sent a team of three or four people from Cambridge to go visit my friend Paul Akers at Fast Caps in Bellingham, Washington. And he wrote the book, 2 Second Lean. And they came back blown away. I actually said, don't come back if you don't learn anything. And they came back on fire.
They were
and
on fire.
Really, yeah,
fire
it was.
Fire been ignited. That's awesome.
And so that's really began the journey. And I have to really, I'm grateful for Mark. As you come back, you learn something, but he helped them and himself integrate that into the organization very effectively by not going a company-wide mandate and edict. That's kind of what they wanted because that's what they saw. But we started really small and created a vortex to attract people, suck them in because it's so cool and the information. Mm-hmm. So it was really messy and hard for a while, but it got better and better. And they persisted and brought something out, and they continued to learn from their failures and their messes. And so I'm really proud of the team and what they've done to that Lean. And Mark, you can explain a little bit more about what that is today.
Yeah. So the concept of 2 Second Lean is just how do you build a culture around people that everybody's engaged in continuous improvement activities. And so the simple concept is how do you learn to see waste in your own life, struggle, challenges, what is it about your life that's struggling? How do you fix that, and how do you build to where all the people are working on fixing that, fixing what bugs them, fixing what bugs you? And then the videos you mentioned, it's a pretty weird concept. It's not normal, I guess. You take a short selfie video, 30-second to 1 minute, and you share that. And so our people, 150 now strong, and 100 whenever we had started the program, they have been doing that now every single day. They've been learning to see waste in their own life. They've been fixing that, fixing what bugs them about their own processes, their own challenges, and then making short videos, improvement videos. To date, we have just over 7,500 videos. These are videos that are documented improvements that our people have made, 100-plus people in Cambridge, and it's unbelievable what that's done to the processes.
It's been a total mindset shift.
Total,
I'm sure.
Mindset shift. Mm-hmm. When John moved back to the Advantage in the 7 years ago, that was getting some of the leadership aligned, but what 2 Second Lean allowed us to do is to bring that to the floor, have it engaged every single day, and have that same story and the story strengthening and strengthening and broadening and broadening in impact. And so literally it's gone around the world. Those videos have been watched thousands and thousands and thousands of times around the world. Our people, and I could name them all, you know, 75 names right to the front that have made massive numbers of improvements. And they're transforming people's lives around the world, enriching lives around the world because of them.
That's so neat.
What's so cool, though, about this is that people are actually learning to solve problems and fix things that bother them. Everybody's got a span of control.
Sure.
Even in a highly regulated industry or whatever, we all have a span of control how we do things. And if you learn how to make improvements, make your job easier, make somebody else's job easier and solve things rather than complain about them, you're going to take that home with you. You're going to take that same attitude
to your
going
family.
Home. And we're saying, you know, people that can solve problems at work go home being better mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters. When you get that, you get healthier families. Healthier families create healthier communities. Never even thought about that, but we're seeing that in spades, and it's just so rich and rewarding to watch that happen.
And to know that you've been a part of it. That's really neat.
To play a small part.
To play a small part, right. Mm. Well, there's just so many things that I'm thinking about because, John, I love it that you sent a team to listen. Mm. It wasn't John. and it wasn't Mark. You know, you sent a team, because oftentimes I think that's what we try to do. We'll go listen and take in these insights and new ways of thinking, and then you come back and try to inspire your team, but it's nothing like being there. And you guys are so much about people development. I love it. And I know that you've taken people through Dale Carnegie. Love the story, Mark, you tell, I think, about somebody on the machine floor, you know, that went through Dale Carnegie, and you said you know that it was totally uncomfortable for him.
Oh, my gosh. So
totally uncomfortable. Yeah. But did he grow as a person? Did he grow as a leader in the organization?
The whole organization did. The people that surrounded him and loved him exactly where they're at. One of our core values is unconditional love. It's written on the pages, and people are like, well, how do you do that? Well, when somebody's scared and they're saying, I don't know if I can do this Dale Carnegie training, you sit down and you say, what's going on? And you learn about them and who they are, who they were created as, and what they were created to be, and what's been holding them back in life. And to be able to just be okay with that conversation, our HR group, the leaders inside the manufacturing organization, it was George, and I love George, and I think he wouldn't mind me sharing it. He just came to me and he said, I'm still concerned about this training. And I said, that's okay.
You know,
and just to be okay with it. And then George came to me and he said, I'm just still not okay with this. And we said, it's okay. You don't have to be okay with it. And so to be able to do that, and then to be able to just watch him grow, it was a 6-week training, and to watch him grow and to hear his story back and forth, and to he won the breakthrough award. He won the highest award of the event. And
amazing.
It was just to be able to have him stand up and say, I never thought I would be up here. This is the scariest thing, but I'm here. I'm standing tall in front of you. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes then. Right now it does again. It's amazing how if you can allow people to be accepted for who they are, loved where they're at, and then they can be allowed to grow from there. That's what I'm after.
So good. So much good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with John and Mark. As a business leader, you know that keeping a solid first impression with your potential clients, customers, and talent is vital to reaching your organization's goals. If you haven't optimized your website, or if you don't even have a website, you're missing an opportunity to shape your first impression so that it shows your brand in the best possible light. If you're thinking about revolutionizing your website, let's talk. Our team at Technology Partners is ready to help you reshape your online presence. Go to tpi.co/websites and start your journey today. Well, welcome back. I want to jump in now. This is something extra. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I know we have a lot to talk about here as well, but talk to us about the something extra, like in your team members. And we've already touched on your culture, which is so phenomenal, but I want you guys to unpack that a little bit.
Before we get started, I have to tell you just the morning story. So this morning, my wife, I was telling her that we were doing this, and I said it was with Lisa Nichols, and it's on Something Extra. And she said, I said, do you remember her? And she said, I know her very well. She's the one that does so much for the community. She's the one that has this beautiful daughter, and she's the one that has the daughter at Promise Academy, and she does so much. And I was just thinking about the impact that your theme has on the community and on our wives and on our families. And so thank you for what you do.
Aww,
just really appreciate
thank you
before we jump into
that.
Our side of it.
Well, yeah. Thank you for saying that, Mark.
Yeah. So you were asking a question. Let me have you ask it again.
Talk to us about the something extra that you guys see in your team members. You guys have built an amazing culture there.
So we have daily rhythms, and the morning meeting at 8:30 starts out, and somebody leads the meeting, and whoever they volunteer for it, and do walk-up music and tell us about themselves. And then after that is done, we stretch during that time, but then we go grateful appreciation, and we pass a microphone around. What are you grateful for? And so it could be anything that we hear, you know, some, you know, concert, someone's in town for a concert.
Right.
It also could be something level where we had one young man, Josh, who had taken the Dave Ramsey's Road to Economic Freedom course that we offered. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I just sold my dream pickup truck and I bought a less expensive truck, but this is the first time I've ever been debt free and I've had money in the bank for my family and me. So that really brings me to tears by people learning and growing together and inspiring that. So grateful appreciation is just wonderful. And it's hard to have a really bad day or even a bad day.
When you're counting things, your blessings.
Yeah.
and when you're inspired by others and other people's stories, it is so rich and rewarding.
Yeah, I think about that daily habit. We've been doing it now every single day for the last 4+ years. So our whole company gathers. We have a slide up in front of it. All that's on it is says grateful appreciation. And we pass around a mic and people share what they're grateful for. I just think about that one little tiny something extra. If that could be in everybody's life, in every company throughout St. Louis, in every company throughout the United States and, mm-hmm. and around the world, if everyone just shifted their focus into what am I grateful for? What I like about grateful versus thank you is thanking somebody. Mm-hmm. Grateful doesn't require another person. It's just about some situation. And they can be grateful in any situation. If someone's attacking them, they can still be grateful. If the work is hard, if they're going through trials or tribulations, whatever it is, they can be grateful. And when you look at it through that lens, everything can be turned and you can grow through it instead of shrink away from it.
Could not agree more. And I know, Mark, that you have said you're just so grateful for all of your people. They're, you and John are sitting here right now telling the story.
Oh, it's the whole group back there. Mm-hmm. There's 150 families right now that are we're trying to represent here. But you would be so much more blessed if you could hear the stories directly from them. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have been building the culture. They're the ones that have been making the improvements. They're the ones that adopted two-second lean. They're the ones that have now gone out and done Carnegie. And so that's my biggest fear, if I just be honest with you, mm-hmm. is that when we're talking out in this kind of setting or on a stage somewhere, that they think it's us. And it's not us, it's them. It's their stories, and they are the ones that are courageously mm-hmm. moving forward with gratefulness and yes. Making this happen.
They're very inspiring. It's just honoring and amazing.
Very cool. Well, talk to us a little bit about, because I know that you say that courage is one of your tenets in the company. So tell us some stories around that.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. So it is our core value of courage. And what I saw whenever John sat down with me 11 years ago was courage. He's a risk taker. He's willing to risk his own personal finances, his own reputation, his own. He's sitting in front of you, fully exposed, authentic, and saying, here I am. You just heard him share that he has ADHD and dyslexia. Those are not things that everybody is willing to share, but that's
sure.
real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of him, and it allows him to do things that most people can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a superpower. It allows him to think about things that are way off in the future. It allows him to create vision for the company. But that courage is modeled and then allows me to be more courageous and then allows everybody inside the organization. And so I would say on a daily basis, what we say is Travis Warren came to me and he said, I really think that we're helping people become comfortable with being uncomfortable, which just feels like such an easy way to do it.
Yes.
He said, I think it was a blues coach that gave him that saying. But that's what courage is.
Mm-hmm.
How do we step out of our comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and grow? It's the only place growth comes from. And if our people are driving the growth of the business, which we believe they are, they have to be able to courageously become comfortable with being
mm-hmm.
uncomfortable and step into that and
right.
grow.
You guys are enabling your people to step out with courage in another way. And I love this about what you guys are doing and helping families that want to adopt.
Oh, my goodness.
They can be really, I mean, it wouldn't even be a possibility because the cost is so high. So talk to us about that. What are you doing around that?
I think something goes our core values, unconditional love that we have, and with courage. And the team, the benefits team, the people sitting around this came up with that idea. And they're the ones that were around all the people. So that was just amazing where that came from. And I was blown away with an incredible
idea. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't Mark's idea.
It
was your people's idea.
Right. They added a benefit. It's called an adoption benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if you're willing to courageously step out into this world and bring somebody into your family, I cannot imagine a more courageous act where you actually say, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to take that and I'm willing to bring that person in and love them and as our own. We were able to provide some small financial benefit. We do it in two forms. We give them a little bit up front and then a little bit when the adoption is finalized, because sometimes financials are the hurdle for families
That's
to doing
correct.
This. And
yes.
so this just says, here's some help and
mm-hmm.
support. It's
mm-hmm.
so small compared to their commitment
mm-hmm.
on adoption, but it shows intentionality by the company. It says, let's support you
this
through this.
This is important.
This is important.
This is important,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Very good. And you guys have already talked a lot about unconditional love, but is there anything else that you want to add to what we've already talked about with unconditional love being a something extra?
Yeah, it was kind of funny rolling that out because we always talk about, love is not a popular word in the workplace.
Right.
And unconditional love is what you use for your teenage son or daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And yet it's really all about life. And how do you pause and try and figure that out? And it's ability for other people to call me on the carpet. Am I being loving? And really, how are we processing
mm-hmm.
this? Whether bringing people in the company or people that that we didn't bring in the company or people are leaving the company, but it's also how can they flourish? Just processing, thinking mm-hmm. through that, because mm-hmm. we're all work together, and how can you make a better environment?
How does that look in tangible ways? So it means you're not criticizing others, condemning others, or complaining about them.
Passing judgment.
Right, passing judgment on others.
Sure.
So when somebody mm-hmm. comes in as a manager and says, the person that is working for me is really bad at their job, and I don't like them at all, if they say that, I said, well, okay, how is that loving? Are you able to love them during this? And so they rethink, and then they think, we can still take actions like discipline, and we can still fire someone and unconditionally love them. It can be the most loving thing in the world to do. It's just like setting boundaries at home or helping clarify expectations with a relationship with a friend. It can be very loving to set boundaries, but you have to do it out of love for them.
Right.
If you're going to be in this culture, right. And we're asking you to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it is high expectation to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's truth with grace is what I call it.
I love that.
Yes. You have to speak the truth, but do it with grace.
And I'm also very thankful that all these things, it's a journey. It's not a destination.
Absolutely.
And that you've never really arrived. And that gives me hope and gives everybody hope in building upon that. And also covers up when we make messes and
sure.
we mess up, we can go back and address it mm-hmm. and say, whoa.
Well, do you guys have a story where something was actually missing in you, one of you?
I have a lot of them.
Where do you start? You know, one of the things I look at in the era, Mark became president 2 years ago. I promoted Mark to be president. And I wanted more for the company. And one of the things I had to do is in order to get what I wanted, I have to, what am I going to change about myself to get the results I'm looking for? And for people to thrive and be better, go home better every day, they needed a different type of leadership. And so I wanted that more. So I fired myself and I promoted Mark to yes. become the president. And it was very rewarding. And then part of that, too, is just learning from that. I stepped out way back, and we got sideways because we didn't have daily rhythms or rhythms as leaders and how we communicated. And so that's something that we learned, and we actually had a third party help us navigate these things because mm-hmm. it was hard. You want more than that. And, you know, I never consider myself to arrive. It's mm-hmm. just a journey. But I need help mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. along the way, and I want
great
more
advice.
For that. So, mm-hmm.
so you actually engaged a third-party facilitator person to kind of help you work through that, which
yeah,
is great
counselor,
advice.
Counselor, coach, whatever
yes.
that. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's great.
I just think it showed enormous courage that was missing for a little while and mm-hmm. needed to be, because of fear, we were holding each other apart instead of getting closer. And our relationship is really critical to the health of the organization, and it's really critical to our relationship. And so it's just like any really strong relationship, an owner and a president or a CEO and president or your direct reports, you have to have a solid working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was sideways and to be able to recognize that and to be able to say, let's get some help here
mm-hmm.
and not have to muddle through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about how many marriages are like that need help and support. And if people are just like, well, I don't want any help, well, it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm.
You need help.
So mm-hmm. I just love that you were willing to do that. I really
yeah.
appreciate that. And mm-hmm. It's just been really fun to reconnect
awesome.
as we have.
Yeah.
It's rich and rewarding, but it's hard, but it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. I love that.
Yeah, so
I
the missing that. Something extra was enough courage to do that
to
earlier.
Say.
To do it earlier, right?
Help.
Help. Exactly.
Yes.
Get help
yeah.
earlier.
Yes, very good. Well, what do you guys believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
It's too easy to say it's self-awareness, but again, what are you learning about yourself? And
mm-hmm.
I think for me, there's something higher than that. There's a faith. There's something mm-hmm. bigger than who I am. To me, if I don't have that, then it's all about me.
It's all about John.
It's all
right.
about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the be-all, end-all. But having a faith, it's something bigger than who I am, helps put things in perspective, keeps
mm-hmm.
me more focused, and keeps me striving for something more that mm-hmm. I can be. Because I believe everybody, and the whole richness and that we look at Cambridge, is that I believe we're all born with the ability to be creative. And I love to unlock the creativity
mm-hmm.
with that and whatever that looks like. So, again, it's learning about yourself and then also looking at people as being creative and being able to solve problems and build and grow and thrive or be really good at what they do.
Very good. I say look for the something extra in everybody because everybody, like you said, has been endowed with something, right? And so bringing that out. And I think the best leaders are the ones that can bring that out in people, their people.
Yeah. And I love our tagline of enriching lives, enriching the quality of every life we touch. And, you know, if you think about that, for me, that gives me purpose in my life that can carry me through a long time. This is the longest tenure I've had in a company is 11 years.
Uh-huh.
I get bored. Yeah. And I'm not bored
and
in any way,
bored,
shape, or form.
Ever.
Never
right.
bored. I could see doing this for the next 20 plus years and enriching lives in every step along the way.
Mm.
And a company that has ownership that's willing to aim for something a lot larger than profits.
Mm-hmm.
So the something extra for me is that purpose of being able to wake up every day and think that I get a chance to enrich somebody's life in some small way, and I know how much that my life is enriched by
mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to have a company that gets to do that.
Right.
Wow.
There are many definitions of success, but I can't think of a greater one than that.
Mm.
I'm reminded of Bob Chapman,
mm-hmm.
and he says, you know, it's really about the lives we impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're striving yeah. for.
Once we figure that out in life, life changes.
Mm, absolutely. Mm. Well, I want to give you guys the opportunity. Is there something that you want to kind of plug or talk about and make sure that our listeners know and can dive into?
Well, we know that this journey is not something we can do alone. We'd love to be connected with St. Louis region and the United States regions that can partner alongside that want a purpose-driven business. And if you're leading a business, we'd love to be side-by-side with you shouldering that. Specifically, an action item would be great. The St. Louis region, we're partnering with the St. Louis manufacturers specifically because we would love to partner really closely with that. We're building a consortia of St. Louis companies that are in the manufacturing sector that are wanting this kind of improvement mindset,
mm-hmm.
engaged workforce, and being able to have a purpose that's bigger just than profits. But it leads to good profitability, which is good. So on August 15th, we're going to invite some of the manufacturers in to Cambridge to just have a conversation of how do we
mm-hmm.
formalize that.
Mm-hmm.
The Association of Manufacturing Excellence has agreed to partner with us to do that and building a consortia of companies in St. Louis and would love for them to be.
So if there's a listener out there that says, yes, I want to be a part of this, how would they go about doing that?
So they can connect with me directly.
Okay.
My email address, you know, you guys will post that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
we will.
They can call me directly. But all of our social channels are easy to access. So
mm-hmm.
YouTube or Facebook or LinkedIn, they can go directly to our website and grab us. Darla Gibson is heading up the administration of that. She's our executive admin, and she will be able to answer any questions and go back
Great.
And forth and get them signed up for that.
And the date again is?
August 15th, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock at Cambridge. We're going to be doing invites, but would love for them to tag me if they're interested and help them get inside that group.
Very good. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. It has just been a pleasure. This has been so much fun for me. So thank you for making the
Such
time
an honor.
Today.
An honor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.